Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another Sunday Night Live. We are here at Cornerstone Church, and I'm sitting here at the round table with the Mercers themselves. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great.
Always love to be on Sunday Night Live. It's one of our favorite programs and people that run this show around here.
Well, I feel the same way about you guys. I think y'all are pretty awesome, especially, you know, not only are you my friend, but you're my pastors, and so... You pastor here at Cornerstone Church, and that is actually where we record out of, and so we might as well have our leader in.
Absolutely.
Here.
We're glad to.
Yes. Well, so here we are. We're kicking back back to school. How is that affecting the Mercer household? Going back to school.
This was our first week back. We've been started on Wednesday, and let me just say, we're at a new world in the Mercer house. Blaze don't want you to walk him in. Creed now officially, he's too old, don't want to walk him in. We're just to a new world.
Oh, man. Are you even allowed to drive to the school yet? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's going to be a time maybe a block from the school.
Oh, Blaze already wanted to walk.
I
put the kibosh on that.
He asked the night before, please just let me walk to school. We're not going to let you walk to school. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, fun.
That's true. Yeah. That's fun. Yeah, so we're kicking back to school. But it's been actually a busy summer for the Mercer household.
Yeah. It has.
Busy.
We've been running.
You've been running. Worldwide travelers. And we're here recently. Cornerstone took a group of people to El Salvador on a missions trip. And so... you guys have not been back that long.
No, we haven't. It's only been a couple weeks we've been back. And had a big celebration about that this morning and talking about everybody and everybody visiting about that. But, yeah, it was an amazing trip.
It was great. We took 19 people, including us.
Yeah. So 19 all together. Would they be there from Cornerstone or just different people in the area?
All from Cornerstone except for
Sergio and McGuire.
Yeah, and McGuire's kind of in the house because her grandparents go here, so we know.
Sergio's a missionary we support.
Well, you know, I think about mission trips. You know, I've never been on one. I've always wanted to go on one, and so I'm kind of, you know, going to be living through you guys for a little bit until that next opportunity comes around. And I don't think I'm going to miss the next one.
I know.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're up for a treat because we went in August, and I've already talked to Sonia. If we do another one that I'm involved in, we're going to go in January, February, somewhere like that, so we don't have to have all that humidity that is so bad. So we were just so blessed. We'll definitely be going back. So that's going to happen.
And that's just it, is the humidity.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have heat, but just not a lot of humidity, so...
The week before we went, I kept looking at our temperatures and our humidity and their temperatures and their humidity. And their temperature is in the 80s year-round. It don't change. The only difference is this is their wet season, lots of rain, and so their humidity's higher. And so their humidity ranged from 70s to 89 at one point.
Yeah.
And where ours was ranging more like 25 to 30%. No, we had 100-degree days, you know, during that.
Yeah.
And so.
And 30% humidity is high for around here. We've gotten quite a bit of rain this summer.
Yes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's not normally even that high, but man, it was hot. But it was worth it. We had a great time, and we ministered every day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great, great time.
It was great.
So I think about a missions trip. And what would you guys say, what would be your purpose or your intentions when you say you're going on a missions trip?
Well, one of the things that we prefer when we go on a mission trip like that is we really like to get hands-on ministry happening and going. You know, we don't mind helping build something or paint something. Those are all great things, but we really want to go where we can invest in the people, invest in the pastors, sow some seed into all the different ministries that we can while we're there. So we did healing and healing and miracle services almost every night. We did one crusade that we didn't. We still prayed for the sick, but it was built more for a crusade. We did some more fun things and gave away some prizes and things like that. But we still prayed for several sick folks, and lots of folks got saved and came to the Lord. But we spend all of that time literally ministering in the local churches in El Salvador through Eternal. I'm going to say it wrong.
Amazing Love.
Amazing Love Missions. I was going to say Eternal. Amazing Love Missions with Wally Cook, who's a Bethel guy. I was training with the Bethel School of Ministry. So it was exciting. And he put us, the first day we did all training, and it was some of the best training I'd ever been in as far as healing.
It was phenomenal.
And praying
training.
For the sick, mm-hmm. and prophecy and all those sort of things.
So we got trained all that morning and really kind of did some hands-on right there amongst our people. And then got sent out to the first church, which was...
Now, was this the same day you got the training? So training that morning, ministry that night,
let's jump in it.
And that first church was very remote. Like, it was a village, and it was a couple of hours away. And the bus went as far as that bus could go. And the bus driver said, I can't go any further. And so we all got out of the car.
Yeah.
The pastor of that church comes and gets Aaron and drives him the rest of the way up. And the rest of us walked to the church. And so
it was a good little walk, man.
It was a good little, and it was very
mile,
steep.
Half a mile.
It's
yeah,
a pretty
it
steep. And that's why they came and got him, because of how steep it was. And so.
So when you go to a place like that and, you're having a different nationality, and you're showing up and you're wanting to show them the love of God, how do they receive you guys? As they see you, do they receive you well?
Oh, yeah. I thought they did really amazing, and it really blew me away, the hospitable part of the folks there, because the first church, they came to us and wanted to give us an offering. I mean, they don't have any kind of air conditioning. I mean, everything is just a...
Their seats was like the plastic seats, that we see around here that you buy for lawn chairs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was their seating. And so they were pulling it out as we were walking in to put seating.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, but there's no air conditionings. I don't remember, there was no windows in that church, was there?
I don't think so.
I can't remember. There was two doors, and if the wind just happened to get just right, you kind of feel a quick breeze, but... It was so blessed hot that breeze didn't really. But the people, very hospitable,
love to see you,
so received. And I've said it this way, that there's a hunger, there's a desperation in that country that we as Americans, unfortunately, we thank God don't know, but unfortunately in their desperation, they're quicker to grab hold of the things of God. Because, we don't have the medicine y'all have, and we don't have the medical technology, or we don't have the money to get there. But like in some of these remote villages, there would be none. I asked one of their people, I said, so what would happen if they had a heart attack? Because it was way up. We had to get in trucks at this point, that you stand up in, and they had to drive us in because, once again, the bus couldn't go that far. And probably took us another 20 minutes.
Not even a car, maybe longer. Not even a car, because you're driving up this village road. It's just a little village,
And so in that, I said, so what would happen if somebody had a heart attack, and the lady said they would die because they would have to come, the people would have to come 45 minutes to get there and then 45 minutes back to the hospital. And so it's easier, in my opinion, it shouldn't be this way, but for those people, and you tell me this God loves me and he's willing to heal me. Yes. You know, and
yes.
So you saw miracles and things that we, unfortunately, in America don't see very often based out of their desperation. And sometimes that's really where we need to be, is that desperate, God, I need you. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, but unfortunately, we have things, we have such a microwave mentality. I want now, and it's easy for me to get now here in America. But there it isn't. Matter of fact, one of those remote villages, their income was $200 a month. That's all there was. And I'm like, what a minute amount of money, you know, that
a month.
No.
$200?
$200.
Yes. A month.
And honestly, you walk into those homes and how humbling to see the dirt floor. And matter of fact, I was talking to Marianne and, talking about like forts that she would make, and it would be from old tin, you know, her and her brother would make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it was. It was a glorified fort. And it'd be tin on the front and kind of tin on the side, but you would walk into their house or into the house that we went in, and the dirt floor, but there would be no back to it. So meaning animals or bugs could just come in. And so, but they make $200 a month. You know, once again, it shows the desperation that they need for Jesus. I need God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's good.
Yeah, it was really, it's just a lot of times I think in America, we just don't see, we don't know that there really are people that are living in a very difficult situation. So it really helps you to see all that. It brings things into perspective for you that you may be a little more blessed than what you realize you are.
Well, and that's right. And I think that, Aaron, you have actually said this, even the poorest of here in America is richer than the person in other countries. Can't be the richest in the other countries.
Even, I mean, most people in America, you know, we have a cell phone. There's programs that you can get involved in, that you can get food, you can get things that would be the thing, you know, that you would want. As a matter of fact, the crusade that Sonny was talking about, where we had to ride the pickups up to the village, they gave, what do you think, about 20 bags of, like a Walmart, maybe a little bigger than a Walmart bag full of food.
20 to 30
of those bags. But keep in mind, that was the only church, if I'm telling this right, you tell it different if I'm not, that was the only church in that particular village other than the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church, no offense to anybody that might be listening, had that particular Catholic Church said nobody go to this meeting because they're not teaching about priests, they're teaching about Jesus. And listen, we're not against anybody doing anything. I'm telling the story. So they said, don't come. Everybody came out, and most everybody was most excited. We gave away two bicycles and some other things, but the most things that people were excited about were the bags of food that we gave out, and a couple soccer balls for the kids, things like that. But everybody wanted that bag of food. And it was just amazing that Sonia went to some of the homes, prayed that the people would have enough food. These people are coming from all over 300 people there to get a bag of food. And then, next thing you know, as Sonny's leaving, they wanted to come back tomorrow to have tamales with them.
Uh-huh.
So they're wanting to bless us and be hospitable to us. And we're like, gosh, you know, it just brings you like, gosh, I got to be more loving. I got to be more giving and generous with the resources that God's given me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so this particular lady, so she had asked us to come in and pray for her and her mom because they had diabetes. And so we did that, and then that was the deal, is they didn't have enough food. And so she prayed. She asked if we'd pray for that. And so I'm watching, you know, in the natural, you want to do something. So I'm watching this family as they come, because we went door to door and invited them. So they came, showed up, and had taken both showers, was ready to go.
Which probably didn't have running water.
No, it was.
So
work.
It would have been a harder thing than you and I to just go get in our shower. And as a matter of fact, the mom was, in full disclosure, they took us in to where the mom was taking a shower, which was in one of those lawn chairs, and her back was to us. And anyhow, she had a bowl. So she had bottoms on. She had a bowl in her lap, which is where she was, you know, using to scrub. So here we pray for them. I'm watching as they're calling out numbers, you know, of who is going to win the food. And I had told Aaron, I said, I really think that that I want to give her some money. And so then you go through the thing of, and so then you get into your natural mind, where you're reasoning out. And I thought, God, if we could give her $200. It would reset the month for her. And so it's like you've got a whole month. And anyhow, but we did not have $200 cash with us. And so I'm like, God, what do we do? And so I just happened to have $10 in full disclosure. And so I went up. She's running, or her and her mom's going back home. And I run up because they didn't get any food. And so, sorry, I'm giving lots of bunny trails. And I run up, and I give her the $10. I have my translator with me. And the woman, you would have thought I gave her $1 million. Like, to watch the appreciation, mm-hmm. the gratitude. And so then she goes into quickly of, come tomorrow, I want to make you tamales. Do you want it made with oil or butter? And so, going through it, I'm like, wait, we just prayed for you for food. But her deal was, how can we got to bless y'all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we left that family. We left that home, and we were walking down that street, and we knew that right across the street, some of our team had already been there, so we weren't going there, but they had already went on, and that family from right across the street, they call us over, and they're like, come, so we go. Mind you, they don't have money. They wouldn't have lots of just extra stuff, and they have a bag of mangoes to give us. And so, of course, we're trying to just take one or two, and they go and get a bag and pour those mangoes, and there's probably 10 or 15 mangoes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just because out of their hospitality, their gratefulness, and so what can I do back in return for you, you know? And so I think I saw something that I just thought, God, let my heart be that way, just more giving.
Well, as I think about that, I think about, that stuff is not important to them. Or,
yes.
I mean, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but there's other things that are important to them,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and you look at these families, as, you know, not these whole entire house is no bigger than this room we're sitting in, which is not big. It's an office at the top area. And they've got 7 people in there. But it's all about family. It's about friends. It's about helping each other. And that's a crazy thing. I want to tell you, I didn't find one unhappy El Salvadorian the whole time I was there. Everybody is just happy. They're thrilled. They go to church every night someplace. And it's just, they're just loving life. You know, because they've been forced to focus on what's important.
Mm-hmm.
My children, my family, you know, I don't have anything else, so I got to put everything I've got into them. And it, you can tell it just their attitude. And I thought, we think something out here on the outside, if I can get this, or if I can grab that, or if I can make this much money, that's what I need. And these people don't have anything, and they are
happy.
Just happy as they can be, you know.
They are.
So when you guys went, you actually took one of your boys with you. And Blaze, and so how do you feel like that probably have affected him?
Well, I tell you, Blaze has always had a soft heart. He when we went to New York, he always is moved by the homeless or people that are in poverty. And one time, Sonia and I was in Oklahoma City, or I think it was Oklahoma City, and a guy came and got a hot dog out of a trash can and had it for lunch, and Blaze just could not fathom it. And so we wondered, what's he going to do? How's he going to react to this, all of this lack and poverty that we were seeing? And he was just as moved as ever. and especially one of the, we went to two orphanages while we were there, ministered to the kids.
And you can imagine, because he's a kid, and he's just playing and having fun with all these kids, you know. Mm-hmm.
And he took a suitcase of his toys that he wanted to give away and clothes, and he was there every minute. And you could tell he was just connecting those dots about, wow, these kids don't have parents. One of the orphanages we went to that he was most moved by was started by a lady who was in human trafficking, and now it's the children of prostitutes that they bring her that she takes care of. And when Blaze heard that story, he was just so moved that this lady started in prostitution at 7 years old.
Wow.
And he's 12 years old, and it just moved him. And, boy, he got to praying for the sick, and just he took off, and he didn't want to be with us. He didn't want to pray with us. He didn't want to minister with us. Sergio Vaquero, who was a missionary to Mexico and just got back from Cuba, we support him here. And so he got Sergio, because Sergio speaks good English, and Sergio would be an interpreter, and he didn't want, he would go get Sergio and say, hey, come on, I want to pray for this lady. And him and Sergio was on their own mission.
It was really cool to watch, because then Sergio would come and tell, or he'd tell the group or whatever.
Yeah.
And he would just be led by the Holy Spirit. Here, my 12-year-old is ministering to adults.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
And he, and one of the neatest things, the first night, we're praying for folks. Sonia starts praying.
She made him be with us the first night.
We pray for a couple people, and Sonia prays for a couple people. They all get healed. And it's really a simple thing that we got trained, the Bethel method. I don't know what you call it, but they said, don't pray long prayers. Don't make things hard. Make things simple.
Well, and he says, because then it becomes about you.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
Yeah.
And he said, Jesus didn't do that. We're to follow Jesus' example.
And he said, you can't find a long prayer in the Bible. There's just not one. And so basically the prayer is, thank you, Lord, that you love Sonia and you want to heal Sonia. So we just thank you that all pain is leaving her body and healing is coming into her body in Jesus' name. And that's the whole prayer. And so we were praying for people that are getting healed, and we said, okay, Blaze, you're going to pray for the next one. The ones that Sonia and I prayed for were back pain and knee pain, stomach issues, different things like that. You couldn't see that there was anything wrong with
them. It wasn't visible.
Yeah, you couldn't see by, you know, by your just looking. And so we said, okay, Blaze, you're going to pray for the next one. The next guy has to have help getting out of his chair and can barely get to us. I mean, his leg, one of his legs is...
there's something wrong.
Basically, he can't hardly use it. I mean, he is just all but crippled on this leg. It's barely moving. Can't hardly move this leg. So Blaze prays for him. Got a little better the first time. We said, Blaze, pray again. He prayed another simple prayer, just like I prayed. And the guy, you can just see the power of God hit this guy. That guy's eyes got really big. That guy started stomping his leg and jumping up and down on that leg and bending over trying to make that leg hurt.
He's a little short guy, probably about Blaze's size.
Yeah, he's probably Blaze's size. And old Blaze's eyes got that big, too. And he's like, oh, my goodness, this guy just got healed. I just prayed for this guy. Got healed. It's like he just was beside himself.
The cool part was, so this is the very first church we went to, and remember I said that the bus went as far as it could, and then we had to walk the rest of the way, and so it's pretty steep.
Yeah.
So we're staying at the bus waiting for everybody to get up before getting on it, and Blaze looks over, and that guy had hiked up that steep hill and was getting ice cream right there.
Oh,
the
bus.
But it's a quarter mile.
Look, that's that guy I prayed for. So we had to help him because he said, I healed him. No, Blaze, you did not do anything. God just chose to let you be a vessel that he used to lay hands and worked through you, you know. And so it was so much fun that I am so excited that we and glad that we let him go. Because it was life-changing for him. You know?
Yeah.
That's good.
And yeah, he just wanted to go from that night on. He wanted to get with Sergio and just find people to pray for him. And so, because what would happen, the pastor or one of our team members would preach. Sometimes it's Sonia, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's some other member of the team. We'd preach a message and then invite our healing team to come up and pray for the sick. So everybody gets an interpreter or two people. You're supposed to have teams of two, and then they get an interpreter with the teams of two. And Blaze just latched on Sergio, and him and Sergio just prayed for the sick.
So because of that, Blaze almost had his own interpreter because, you know, was English speaking, and so
yeah.
And Sergio was just so great to just take in our 12-year-old and allow Blaze that opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to him. And so Blaze would say, like the very first time it happened, there was a lady, and we never met the lady, but Blaze said, God told me to pray for this lady. And he says, I know what she looks like. And so he tried to explain it. We couldn't find it. And the next thing we know, we look up, and he has got Sergio, and he has found that lady, and he is speaking to her what God has told him to pray for her. And so it's just really, it was really neat to watch him just step out and be bold and, you know, pray and stuff.
And do you find that sometimes it's easier for people to step out and be bold when they're in a foreign country?
Oh, 100%. It's so much easier. Because you don't know anybody, and no one, you know, nobody's watching you.
They don't know you.
You're getting on a plane in a few days and going, you know, 1,000 miles away to back home. So it's so much easier to be bold and step out. You know, so I think that was really exciting. Matter of fact, we're going to do it. We're going to do that right here at Cornerstone on October the 8th. Wally Cook, who's the leader of the missions down there, is going to be here, and we're going to do a healing
this
miracle
year?
Night of October the 8th of this year.
Okay.
And we're going to do it just like we did in El Salvador. We're going to preach a simple message that Jesus died for you, and he wants to save you and wants to heal you. And then we're going to give opportunity for people to get saved, and then we're going to pray for the sick. And we're going to just exactly like we did in El Salvador. And so it's going to be exciting. We're believing that God's going to show up with signs, wonders, and miracles.
And this man is really,
so cool.
When you see him, you're like, how did you manage to get there? Because he was 51 years old when he felt like God called him and his wife to the mission field.
Yeah.
And he's 71 now. And he's just an old rock and roll, you know, guy.
Listen, I don't know if I can say this on the radio. I hadn't always been a preacher, but I just thought of who he reminds me of. And I'd say it to him, I can't wait to tell him. As a matter of fact, when he gets here, he reminds me of Chong on Cheech and Chong. You know that old movie? Y'all know, I don't know if y'all seen that. That's back in my day. But if y'all know that, he's kind of like that guy. Well, I'm just going to pray for you right now. Yeah, you know what I mean? And he is just so easy.
He's so easy going, laid back.
Just, I'm going to pray for you. God's going to touch your body. You know, I mean, just, he is just the most unassuming guy. Plays incredible guitar, played on a lot of the praise and worship teams in the churches that we were at. And he just so blessed me just because he's not flashy. He's not trying to be.
He wears a t-shirt and jeans every day.
He's not trying to be anything special. He just, well, God told me, you know, God felt like God wanted me to come down here, so sold everything I own, come down this way. You know what I mean? I'm thinking at 51 years old, here he is praying for people, and I'm telling you, he's doing so much. I mean, he's supporting these orphanages, he's helping all these churches, and just such an incredible testimony.
We walked away saying we got to put him on our missions team, because out of and praise God for all the missionaries we support. So
yes,
nothing.
We have several.
Yes.
And so nothing toward any missionaries around the world. But to watch what this man is single-handedly, what God is doing in and through him, is one of the most amazing things. So like the Tiana's Children's House, that was the lady that, what had happened is she got raped by a family member when she was 7 years old. Her father found out, kicked her out of the house.
It was the father's brother.
It was the father's brother, so it was her uncle that raised her.
Yeah.
He kicks her out of the house. And so a lady says, here, come stay here for the night. And it was a sex ring. It was a sex trafficking.
Mm.
And so at the age of 7, she's telling the story, and you can imagine me, because I'm the crier of all of us. And like, as she gets to some of these deep parts, like I've got tears coming down. Anyhow, she says the first night, 7 years old, she had to have sex with 5 men.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moved up to 6 men. And then it was 7 men a night. And
oh,
I just think,
goodness.
A 7-year-old, I mean, Preet is 8 years old, and I just can't imagine an adult doing to him what that woman. And so she's the one that ended up getting saved at 39. She was in it for 39 years. She was on heavy drugs and alcohol, which I'm sure you have to kind of numb yourself, you know.
Yeah, just to get through.
Yes. And anyhow, she ends up radically getting saved because her neighbor kept on just knocking on her door. And so anyhow, and I can't remember exactly how she got out of it, but needless to say, she gets out of it. Wally meets her 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And so he's been there 20, mind you. He meets her 18 years ago, and he said, God told me I'm to take care of you from now on.
And she had a little tiny room that she had.
A little that was pretty decrepit and just bad. And so she's rescuing these kids. They're coming to live with her, and she don't have much. And anyhow, and now they have this house, and he brings in almost $500 worth of food every week to that house and pays her bills, and just, and he is 70% or 80% of her support.
70% of that particular ministry support he does, and then he's got, I don't know how many churches that he
supports. Well, that's what I'm gonna say. So here we're just like, wow, that in itself is just amazing,
right,
to think he's doing that and all these children that come through there, you know. Well, then in turn we go to the very final church. And Aaron was going to preach that night. And before we go up, we're sitting around, and the pastor stands in the middle of us, and he's telling us his testimony. And it's a long testimony, but it is an amazing testimony. And at 15 years old, he felt like he was called to pastor. And so, and you might have heard Aaron talk about this a week ago Sunday, and that he said that a group of men took him out and took him to the middle of nowhere, to a tree.
25 miles away to a little village, and there was a tree in the middle of town.
Said, if you're going to be a pastor, you'll make it. And so...
it's right here. Your so people meeting under
in the middle
tree.
Of the nowhere.
Yeah.
15 years old, and I'm like, 15? Are you serious? And so he, about that time, a guerrilla war and broke out, and so there's gunfire and all of that, and this old man says, hey, come over here, and they get underneath a bed, and he ends up leading that man to Jesus. And so anyhow, his story is quite, it's a big story.
And one of the things that they say that this also bore witness with Wally, and is that one of the things that they are taught is the poorer you are, the more holy and powerful you can be. So pastors and leaders of the church can't have any money because it makes them
they
more holy
the
and more
poorest
anointed.
And the ones because they need to serve more in this map.
Yeah, and so
this pastor had built up two or three churches to 50, 60 people, and then they would take it out from underneath
and take it to another little remote village and start over.
Build it up. But the whole time, his family is starving. He said, he talked about at one point, you know, that malnutritious or malnourished, swollen bellies, his kids had that. And so they just really, really struggled. And Wally met him, was it 15 years ago? And they were destitute, poor, very much so struggling. And he said, and this was the pastor's testimony, Wally was upstairs playing on the praise and worship team. And he said, and when I met Wally said, God just told me I'm supposed to support you for the rest of my life. And so, like, the man has, do you think 100 people were at that church?
Maybe more.
And it was his church that put on this crusade that we had to get in those trucks. And when I say trucks, it's like where it's got the raised things, you know, it's the
everybody
bed of the truck.
Up.
And so you stand up as the truck is going down the road, you know. And so there was 15 of us, maybe, probably, something like that. Yeah. 10 of us, 15, because we also had our translators in there with us. And so I don't know, when I think about Wally and just to see what he is doing, it's not because he wants to live a fancy life, but he is truly for the kingdom of God. He goes in and, okay, God has told me to take care of you. And so as we support him, it is, I just can't imagine where all the different ministries and the stuff that he does and the ministry he's doing, that God is using him in. Because I think, had it not been for him, God could raise anybody up, because that's God.
That's right.
But in the natural, looking at it, and to think about Tiana and to see her home and to see, and I'm not talking about fancy or glorious. I'm not saying that, but it was nicer than some of those villages' homes that we went into. And to think it's through the ministry that God has put him there and the support of the people that, you know, sow into that ministry. And then like that, Josue,
you're talking about Juan.
Yeah. And so just the different ministries, I think God is so faithful. But not only is God faithful, you're talking about a man that was willing to submit his life and say, okay, I'll sell it all. He was almost close to retirement. And let's sell it all. Hey, what is life? You know what I mean? Let's sell it all at 51 and let's go to a foreign country and, mm-hmm. and do ministry for Jesus, you know? And so that's what I said to Aaron. I said, there's no doubt. He's right in the midst of what God created him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he is one of the missionaries that it's not like, I got to get back to the United States. Like he comes over here and he's like, I can't wait to get back. And so it's not something he wants to just stay over here for long periods of time. He'll come, kind of itinerate, come see his grandkids, and he's got to get back over there. You know. And he said, yeah. I'll be buried over here.
Mm. Yeah, I will tell you just one neat story about Pastor Jose Luis. That's the fellow that started the churches and started out on the tree.
The 15-year-old.
So he said that they were really, really poor, couldn't eat. And a guy showed up and would take care of them and give them a little money to eat. And he stayed with them 6 or 8 or 10 weeks. I don't remember what the...
3 years.
Okay, 3 years. So he stayed with him, and then he comes to him one day, and he's got a gift. It's wrapped in a box, and he says, I'm not going to be coming anymore, but I'm sending one of my men to take my spot. And so, anyway, he says, okay, thank you for everything. And the guy, you know, he'd been calling and seeing about everything. And so the guy leaves, and he says, and then when he leaves, they open up the gift, and it's this beautiful crystal angel, okay. And so then they try to get a hold of the guy to say thanks. They can't get a hold of him.
Phone doesn't work.
He called the company that they said that he at one time worked for. So we've never had anybody work for us by that name. We don't know who you're talking about. And so the pastor thinks that that was an angel because the very next morning was when Wally had heard about him and said, I don't know who you are or much about you, but I know that God told me to come take care of you. And so... he showed us that crystal angel mm-hmm. that this person had given him, and it was just so powerful. And, you know, Wally.
Because he didn't know Wally at that point.
Yeah, didn't know Wally. And he was going to quit because he's like, I'm not going back to being poor because I'll just go do something else.
And his family had taken a hit, you know,
yeah.
for years.
And none of his kids wanted to be in ministry, and it was just really falling apart. Wally came, helped him get into a little better place to take care of his family. And it was just such a powerful story. About what one person can do if you just say yes to Jesus. And it just was so cool to watch this unassuming, hippie, rock and roll creature
yeah.
just say, hey, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. You know,
yeah,
it's just,
I'm saying yes.
You know, it just really blessed me.
And that's, you know. That is the theme. That is the theme of Christianity, yeah. I believe. It's to just say yes.
Just say yes.
Just do what God tells you to do. Nothing more, nothing less.
That's
and
right.
Just say yes and go on.
That's
and
right.
All of those things, you know.
Just works.
This works out. And so, you know, you're talking about these people. This is not something that's happened back in the early 1900s. This mm-hmm. is something that's happened recently.
Yeah.
This is, you know, people talk about things that happened in the U.S. that were awful, but that was, a long time ago.
Yeah.
This is going on right now.
Right now.
And God is using these people. And I think about Blaze being 12, and then I think about Wally being 51, and then, yeah. you know, the 15-year-old at the time was 15, yeah. but you know what I mean? It don't matter what age you are.
It don't matter.
All you have to do is say yes. God can use you at whatever age, at whatever stage you are in your life. It's
Absolutely.
Never too early and it's never too late.
You know, and I heard, it might have been Wally or Juan. Wally started a church, and if some of these details come out different when he's here in October, we heard so many pastors telling so many different stories. I may not have every detail just exactly right. But Wally started a church there in El Salvador, and he thought, you know, it would be better if I get a local pastor, you know, to come and pastor this church. And this fellow's name was Juan, and he was just such a powerful guy that came. And I think he's the one that said this, because I was just making mention that everybody here is happy. Everybody here, you know, even though they are in destitute poverty. I mean, you think it's more poverty than I've ever seen anywhere. Being, you know, some different countries and different places, this is the most poverty I've ever seen. And he said the reason why they're happy is because they are thankful. And I just began to think about that. We gave in one of the kids' services that Sonia and Presley, your daughter, did at one of the orphanages, Gage had it on his heart to give every orphan $2. Mm-hmm. And the little girl that came up, that last girl that won,
she won five.
So we did a $20 bill for Tiana, and we did 4 $5 bills, and then we did $2 for every other.
How old was that one girl that got that last $5?
16. She was tiny. Yeah. I would have thought she was closer to 12 or 13.
But. So she's 16 years old and tears running down her face.
And she couldn't quit hugging us. And she's like, can I have a picture with you? And just thanking us.
Just for $5. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just like, I got to be more thankful for the things, the blessings of God in my life. You know. Yeah. Because these people, and I think Juan hit the nail on the head, is they are just real. I mean, I had an El Salvador lady everywhere I'd go in any of those churches. They'd chasing me around with a little plastic chair, just in case I was. If you don't know, I have cerebral palsy, so I walk a little different. I'm not kidding. Every time I turn around, some little Salvador lady just right behind me, waiting for me to sit down. So I have a chair. I'm like, these people are so loving and so gracious.
And servants.
And they just want to serve and just be incredible.
Well, and even at that, so like at those poor, poor churches, they would give you water. And so and not that water costs a lot of money, but you know, you can't drink their water. So you have to buy bottled water. And so they would give us water at those churches, and which was very thankful because it's so hot, you know. But you just think the gratitude, the thankfulness.
Absolutely, the generosity. Mm-hmm.
But you know, and as we talk about this, we know that America is a blessed nation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And God intended
for
America to be a blessed nation. And so it's not that there has to be any guilt or condemnation because you're living in this blessed nation and they're not.
Yeah.
But that we can, like you said, we can have that same thankfulness and appreciation of what God has done even for us here in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while you guys were gone, and this is something that's really been on my heart just because, I don't know, I went while you were gone, so we kept Creed for you guys. And that Sunday morning, Melda gave us 2 or 3 booklets. And she said, here, will you read these to Creed and see if there's something he likes? If he does, we'll give him some more. So one night, we sit down, and I start reading it, and we take turns reading it. And it was about how our country was founded.
Huh.
And I, not knowing the history of some, I mean, I know some history, but...
Yeah.
Not realizing the Christian heritage of our nation.
Yeah.
You know, America's motto is one nation under God.
That's right.
Do you know that there was one time during the Civil War that the people went to the government and said, through these perilous and darkness times, we want that to be on our money.
Yeah. Wow.
The people wanted the government. And so then the government did it.
Yeah.
Put that on the money. And then later the government quit doing that. And then the people started saying, hey, we want that back on our money.
Yeah.
And this is the people, okay? They're going to the government and the people's telling them this. And then it's not until the 1960s that became a thing for America to have the one nation under God on our money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that started back from the very beginning.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
And so I'm reading this little kid booklet, you know, that has all this Christian information about our country, and I think, they don't teach these things to us anymore.
They don't.
You don't get that in public schools.
No,
you
don't.
And so I say all of that to say, America was meant... God wanted us
absolutely.
To be here in favor and to be able to have freedom to serve him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we wouldn't have been able to get there if we didn't have the prosperity that we have to go
absolutely.
And bless that country. We wouldn't happen to have, we would, you know, all the, you think about all the good churches in America do for people and the poor, people who are earning medical, all the good that America itself does, or all the charitable organizations that we have. I mean, no country in the world has done more good for more people than the United States of America. And it all begins because of that Christian heritage to say, this country puts God first. And that's why we as a church have to continue to do that, because that's why America is in the shape that it's in. And I don't think that our best days are behind us. I think our best days are ahead of us. I think America The most glorious days for our country are still out in front of us. And we're going to do more for more people and be more blessed, because I don't think, you know, if you listen to the different folks, different programs, people will tell you that the church is a mess, that the church has no hope, that the church is in decline. I don't agree with that. The church, I believe, is in its finest hour. I believe we're right where we're supposed to be. I believe God is moving, and I believe our finest hour is just around the corner.
That's right. And you know, last week's show, I had, I don't know if you know, but last week's show, I had Dr. Sharp on, and he was actually talking about things that need to take place before Christ can return. And it's one of the things he mentions is the glory of God in the churches is going to rise, and we are going to see signs, wonders, and miracles like never before.
But
until that happens, Christ cannot come.
Wow.
And so if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to that, you can go back to our website for our listeners. You can go back to our website on SundayNightLive.org, and we have those archived on there, so you can go back and listen to those. But it's funny, I was telling James, and he says, well, what are they? I said, I'm not telling you.
I love Dr. Sharp, man. He is sharp.
He fits his name, boy.
I'll tell you right now.
He is sharp.
You know, that's what I, as you're saying that, I thought, you know, that's really what I kind of think El Salvador, of course, we go in and we bless, whether it's financially, whatever, you know, laying hands. But I think in return, what they did for us is it gave the 19 of us the ability to see, no, we can lay hands on the sick and the Bible says they shall recover. You know, and I think about the couple of scriptures about where the Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, right? And then in another verse, Jesus says, you will do these same things and greater. And so I think for the 19 of us that went and you got to see the signs, the wonders, the miracles, I think it does something to you. And those scriptures become more real of, wait a second, Jesus said that to me. It don't matter that I'm in El Salvador. I can do that right here in America.
Sure.
And so
that's right.
As much as I'm thinking about where we were talking about America is so blessed, and we are, but I'd say that was the thing that probably El Salvador, would you agree, probably gave to us 19 people.
Well, and it's something to remember that God's word works here.
That's right.
Not just in other countries.
That's right.
Yeah.
We can be bold and we can pray for the sick. We can, I mean, nobody, I don't know that in all the times that I've been going door to door, doing all the things that I've done, you know, in ministry or trying to get into ministry, I have rarely had anybody turn me down when I say, could I pray for you? If they tell me, we're not feeling well, or we have back pain, or we're fixing up surgery, and I say to them, can I pray for you? Everybody always says, yes, you can pray for me. I'd love for you to pray for me. So I think that shows that we do have an openness in this country still, like you were talking about with the founding fathers. I think people are open to God. I think the enemy is trying to make a big splash to make us think everybody is turning away from God and running to God. But I think the opposite is true. I think people are more open to God now than ever before.
And it's because you don't hear it in the national media.
You don't
know about it. You don't hear about it because the non-believers are not talking about it.
That's exactly right. And so they're trying to skew things. But make no mistake, the Great Awakening has already begun.
That's right.
And we're going to be right in the middle of it here in the Texas Panhandle. I have no doubt in my mind. I am so excited to see what God's done. And I'm going to be bold, because here's the thing, you know, praying for the sick, the gifts of the Spirit, signs, wonders, and miracles, we're going to have them in church. I think that's great. But they're not primarily, if you read scriptures, they're not primarily for the church service. Therefore, you, when you're running down the grocery store and you run into somebody trying to get in their car but they're hurting, if you're going over to the hospital to visit somebody that's fixing to have surgery, if you, wherever that case may be, it's meant for you as a believer in your life. If you encounter somewhere where somebody is lacking or somebody is hurting or the will of God is not being accomplished, God's calling us to establish His kingdom.
That's right.
I mean, I know we're running out of time, but let me tell you.
Well, we got plenty of time.
A little preview, about what's coming up. Not this Sunday because we're doing not this coming Sunday because we're doing something special. But the Sunday after that, I'm going to be doing a one service only called numb. How do you get your spiritual fire back? Okay. And one of the things that came in my heart was Jesus didn't say, repent, quit doing bad things. He said, repent because the kingdom of God has come close to you. In other words, what does the word repent mean? The word repent means think differently. Think differently now because the kingdom of God is come near to you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say about anything about quit doing bad things. He came and said, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near to you. That means God wants to get involved in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So think differently than you ever thought before.
That's right.
And let God do something in your life that maybe you didn't think He would do. And so we're going to talk about how to get your spiritual fire back. How to really experience God in your life where you don't have to go through life just numb and not, you know, not knowing what to do with your life, not having any fervency. How many people just go through life and go through the motions and have no fire in their belly about life? We're going to talk about what Jesus said would bring that back to you.
Oh, and that's going to be good.
So I'm excited about that. But I love that. I believe that that's what we're seeing now. We're going to see it more and more. The kingdom of God is coming near to us. And so that's exciting.
So is that August 27th you're preaching that message?
That's right. I think that's right. August 27th is that message, I believe.
Okay. Well, so, you know, as we're talking about going out and we're praying for people not only in El Salvador and they're receiving that, but in America, you know, and they receive that miracle of God. The one thing, and this is something I've really been thinking about, because the fact of the matter is people are going to argue doctrine.
Yeah.
People are going to argue the interpretation of what they think the Bible means.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing they can't argue with is what God did in your life.
That's right.
Because you know it. You saw it. And like those 19 that were in El Salvador, they saw it and they know it. And so now you can't argue with me about what I know my God can do.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. When that happens, you can stand on that.
Absolutely.
You can't argue with me on that. You can argue with me on anything else, but that's not one thing you can get you know,
amen,
convince me otherwise.
And that's one of the things happened on our team. A lady, you know, on our team was going to have back surgery. I mean, a major back surgery. Wally prayed for her. She got completely healed. The day during the training, during our training, two of our ladies got healed in their back, completely whole, completely healed. And you'll never talk those two ladies. They were praying for the sick. They were just running over each other to pray for the sick because they got healed. And you can't, well, you can say what you want to. God doesn't heal today. He healed me.
That's right.
You know what
I
mean? That's exactly right.
And if He can heal me, I know He can heal
that's
you.
That's exactly right. So conversation over. You know what I mean? You can say, well, healing and miracles have passed away and they don't happen today. Well, we just spent 8 days watching it happen every single day.
Yes.
And every single night. And so those people don't have any reason to lie, any reason to make anything up. But they don't know us and we're leaving. So it was amazing to watch people that man Blaze prayed for. He could not barely move on his own, completely whole. And there's no argument with that. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so anyway, it's just, I believe we're going to see that. I believe that America is not going to come behind in that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we're going to see that because
absolutely.
We've put God first. This country is blessed by God, and I believe we are not going to be left out on those kind of miracles. I believe that.
And I think even beyond saying America, I think we get to say as individuals, I'm not going to be left out.
That's right.
I want to be right in the middle.
That's right.
Of laying hands on the sick and watching
saying
them
that,
recover.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
And so, God, use me. And whatever that looks like, use me, you know.
And that makes me think of a bigger known pastor, his wife. And she said, Lord, take my life and do something with it.
Yeah. That's right.
So that's all you have to do.
That's all you
take
have.
My life and do something with
that's
it.
Exactly.
That's right.
And just say yes.
Just say yes.
He's just simply looking for some yeses.
That's it.
Matter of fact, that was one of the things that we heard. You might have to help me. So Jesus was the face of God.
Mm-hmm.
I might be saying this wrong. We are the face of Jesus.
Yeah, that was one of the things they said in our training. I think that's what it was. Because people...
Oh, that's good.
Jesus was
I had
the face
to process
of God.
That. Okay.
We're in the face of Jesus. You know, because people, they'd never seen God before, so they saw Jesus. Now, people are like, well, what about Jesus, and how about this, and how about that? We're the face of Jesus, you know. And I believe, I believe that when we show up, when we share His love, when we share His word, and we step out in faith, saying that God will touch you, God will heal you, God will change your life, I believe He's going to honor His word and do it.
Amen. Amen. I do too.
Amen. Okay, so remind us again, October 8th of this year,
that's right,
Wally Cook is going to be here at Cornerstone.
Yep. He will be here Sunday night. That's going to be a Sunday night, 6 o'clock, healing and miracle service right here with Wally Cook. And
okay.
And it'll be a treat. You don't want to miss
it. Oh, he is a blast. I mean, if you think, just like I said before, I don't want to end the program with it, but if you think of Cheech and Chong as a Holy Ghost preacher, you got to come see yourself.
And he's really very humble.
He's so humble. Yeah. So graceful. 1 minute he's praying for the sick and they're all getting healed. The next minute he's cutting up tomatoes for sandwiches we're about to eat for lunch. There's no, you know, he's just...
Then on the stage with his guitar.
Then on the stage with his guitar. Yeah. Playing Pink Floyd, warming up before the church service starts. I mean, just an amazing guy.
Yeah.
You know, so get ready. It's just going to be a lot of fun.
Amen.
You know, I think about humility. I've been reading this thing, and one of the things is talking about in leadership, humility is one of the main things that you need to have in leadership. Mm-hmm. And, I say, obviously, that's the very important first thing is relationship with the Lord, but sure, then humility.
Yeah.
And that is one sure sign of maturity.
True leadership.
It's true leadership. And so I love the way this book was read was we can either humble ourselves, which is called humility, or somebody else can humble us, and that's called humiliation.
Yeah, oh, man.
That's good.
That is really good.
And I don't want to be humiliated.
I've had it both ways, and I don't like that humiliation part, but that's good.
Yeah, and so I thought of that whenever you're talking about him. And so you can tell the difference in people in the way they, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And he got...
They're fruit, yeah.
Well, and you know, the stories that we know did not come from him. None of those stories that we just told about him, he's so humble, you'd never know it's because other people spoke.
The people that he blessed, told about him, not him, but the people that he blessed.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he didn't, he's been over there 20 years, so whenever he prays somebody and they get healed, he expects it. He's like, well, of course they're going to get healed.
What are you talking about? We prayed and then
that's the Lord. It's His word. And that's one of the things that really set me free. Because, you know, the devil can jack with you when you have a disability and you're working through stuff. What am I doing praying for the sick? I don't need to be praying for the sick. And he says, what does that do with anything? It doesn't have anything to do with you if they get healed.
Amen.
So it doesn't have anything to do with you if they don't get healed. So,
and I loved. Then he says, oh, and then you stop and you ask him, okay, how are you feeling? Is it the same? Is it better? Is it worse? And so he kind of goes through that and teaches on that. And so then if it's the same, you pray for him again.
Yeah.
He says you do it 4 or 5 times. And he said the truth is he said not everybody gets healed, and I don't know why they don't. But he said then you tell them keep getting prayed for.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Keep believing.
Keep getting prayed for. Where so often we think, oh, well, if I pray and they don't get healed and da 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 da. No. Keep getting prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that because that's just so simple. Don't stop. Yeah. Don't stop believing. Don't stop getting prayed for. Keep. Because I think that can stop us in, no, if I lay hands on you and you don't get healed, man, I'm made a fool of, and then am I a bad representation of God? No. Just keep getting prayed for.
And that goes back to humility, humiliation. You don't have to be humiliated. No. You're humble. This is God is the one doing it, not you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And I mean, just an encouragement to anybody listening. If you've been prayed for a bunch of times and you haven't been healed, keep getting prayed for. Keep getting prayed for. Keep believing. Keep standing. Because just as much as it's God's will to save you, it's God's will to heal you.
Amen.
So don't you quit. Don't you give up.
Amen.
That's right. And so as we're about, actually now we are about out of time. And so we need to go ahead and bring this to a close. But I really want to encourage our listeners, as I've been saying for quite some time now, keep saying yes to God.
Absolutely.
Amen. Keep saying yes to God. And know that God can work in and through you. Yes. And it's not by your power, but by His.
That's right.
And so... we just pray that our listeners have a blessed night tonight, and we pray that you have a sound sleep, and then as you start your week, that you will walk in His favor, and everything you touch is blessed. And we just say a good night to everybody, and we will be back next week.
Amen.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, thanks for being on here.
Yeah.